This is a recording of Tony Gentle on Tuesday, the 15th of May, 2012.
Right.
Tony, were you born in Cheshire?
I was, yes.
And when was that, may I ask?
1st of January, 1942.
And you were a year baby?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a wartime baby?
Yeah.
And whereabouts in Cheshire were you?
Technically in Hale. That transcribes into Altrincham, there we go.
And was that a good place to grow up?
It was. My father was Swiss, and he came over in 1916, I think. Looking for a job, because they were, looking for people to contribute to the war effort. And because he was neutral, he was exempt from lots of things. So he was, I was the second youngest of a whole string of five of us. Yeah. So, yeah.
Your dad took a job as a chauffeur eventually, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you lived in the gardener's cottage.
Yes.
To the big house.
Yeah.
Where he was chauffeur.
Which big house was this?
Lowther Cottage. Lowther House down Rappax Road, which is still...
doesn't exist anymore.
Still there.
And so did you go to school in Hale?
Yes, I did. I went to, first of all, Stamford Park Juniors, then Altrincham Grammar, and then that was it, yeah.
So what did you want to do when you left school?
I wanted to go in the Forestry Commission.
And did you do that?
Yeah, I did.
So was that, did you do training?
I put in for some exams, passed the exams, but then declined to, because in those days, if you went into the Forestry Commission at my level, then you couldn't progress beyond a degree. Now that's all changed now. And
but you did go and work for them for some years, didn't you?
Yeah.
Up in Scotland.
Yeah.
And then you decided to come back home,
and
because your family needed you at home.
Yeah.
Family circumstances meant you needed to be at home. And you went to work for Altrincham Parks?
Yes. And then I remember saying to somebody when I was at Altrincham Parks, how would I best get a good all-round knowledge? And they said to me, well, that's easy. You'd go to Clybrons, because Clybrons were like much bigger than Caldwell's in those days. And so I then went to Caldwell's, to Clybrons, yeah.
And you worked at Clybrons from 1960, you wrote it down?
Oh, right, 1962 to 65.
And then you went to college?
Then I went to college. And did my NCH, and
at
Kellin, which is not Northop.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and then when I came out from there, I wanted to extend my knowledge, and I picked up a very good knowledge at Clybrons, and so went to Caldwell's, and. 67.
And you worked there for 2 years, 3 years? No,
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
And how did you come to go to Caldwell's? Did you just write, or did you?
Yes, I did. I phoned them up. I said, in those days you could jump out of one job into another job, and I said, I've had good experience at Clybrons, and can I come to you? So they sort of said, yeah, yeah.
And what department were you in when you went to Caldwell's?
It was, there was a garden centre, which wasn't really a garden centre in those days, but where they grew pretty well everything. And we used to buy stuff in from all sorts of places, Bolton Brothers of Modershawl, Scots, and...
Scots of Marriott? Or another Scots?
Another Scots, Liz, yeah.
Not Scots of Marriott?
No.
You've told me stories about when you worked on the retail bed.
Yeah.
But where else did you work?
It was only about 15 acres at Knutsford, but historically it was, historically that had been a very important part because it went back like hundreds of years because Thomas Rivers of Sawbridgeworth were the oldest nursery still in existence, and this was only like 10 years shorter than that, yeah.
So who was your supervisor when you were
there? Do you recall? Yeah, Mr. Scott. A Scottish gentleman. He always wore a beret. Mm. Yeah.
And did you have special clothes for work? Or?
No. Strangely enough, we demanded sort of like waterproofs, which you didn't get. So I cut a bag open and tied it round the middle, like a big compost bag, tied it round the middle and sort of walked about like that to shame Billy Caldwell into providing something for me, yeah.
So how did you get to work?
In a Spitfire. From Altrincham, yeah.
Triumph Spitfire.
The Triumph Spitfire, yeah.
Tony bought, being single and living at home, even though he was helping with the family finances, you saved up your money to buy a car, didn't you?
Mm.
And everybody thought it was dreadful that this just garden hand had bought this posh car, this Triumph Spitfire.
So did you get good experience at Caldwell's? Did you learn?
Yeah, not as much as I'd learnt at Clybrands, because Clybrands operated probably 200 or 300 years out of date. Yeah, we used to go out into the field at Clybrands, and I can remember measuring. Because the trees we were digging up were this big, and measuring one across the base, which was 12 foot. Now we used to use.
You had to dig it up by hand.
Dig it up by hand. Yeah. The straps on the handle came right up to the top of the handle, so you could actually stand on it.
On your spade?
On your spade, yeah.
Why weren't they doing that at Caldwell's?
Because, you know, they didn't know about that, you know.
Clybrands were still digging trees that big up my hand.
Yeah.
When you went to Caldwell's,
yeah.
Were they growing big trees?
Not really, no. They were buying them in, yeah.
Remember any of the customers coming to the nursery?
Yeah, I mean, there was a district nurse, Mrs. Lipovsky, I think. Excuse me. And what I used to find strange was, well, I mean, she'd come over to me and say, oh, Mr. Gentle, will you show me round the nursery? And we would wander around all day. And she would buy like threepenny heather. So, yeah.
And did you have a lot of customer contact?
We did, yeah. We did, yes, Yeah.
And did they collect the plants themselves, or how did they take them home, or were they delivered?
Both. Some went in the back of the. There was a doctor who had an MG, and he was a youngish guy. Mind you, I was even younger, and he would have been about 30 when I was about, 20 odd. Yeah, yeah.
How old were you then? What were the dates again?
1966 to 1967.
1966, you were 24.
Yeah.
And can you remember any of the other people who you worked with there?
Oh, yeah. There was Dennis Mead, Peter Acton, Frank Cash, I think. Yeah, I did, but I can't read my writing.
Johnny Crimes, Hillman Bates?
Oh, yeah, Johnny Crimes,
yeah. Got lots of stories about Johnny Crimes, you have.
Yeah.
What did Johnny Crimes do?
He was a little guy, about 5'2", and he had some sayings, didn't he?
Didn't he have a child?
No.
Wasn't he the one that had the baby?
No. Oh. Think of ease but work on. Yeah, that was one of his favourite sayings. And you can't do enough for a good boss, and you can't do too much for a bad one. Which were his two favourite sayings. And
you've written Hillman Minks down.
Yeah, he had this great big, great big Hillman Minks, and he wore clogs. So when he jumped in the car and his clogs hit the pedal, you can imagine what happened.
What did happen? Tell me.
Well, other cars coming along went up the bank. John Prince was at the Barnshaw Nursery. He's still around, actually. He must be getting on to into his 70s now. So he was like they bought a fruit farm called Goodwin's down near Mangaletsi's. And that was about 30-odd acres. So Mangaletsi is still there on that that road, as far as I'm aware. And I went and helped out occasionally when they were struggling. Yeah, yeah.
So were there a different set of staff with them?
Yeah, they were, yeah. Yeah, and they used to resent us because we were like the blue-eyed boys. A lot of jealousy, amongst these. And, I got this Spitfire, so they couldn't understand how I got this Spitfire. And, it was only like a Triumph Herald, but It made me feel that I was making progress somewhere. Yeah. Yeah.
You've also written down here Bogleweed.
Oh, Bogleweed.
Bogleweed.
She was a propagator in the greenhouses at Knutsford. She was like in charge of the greenhouses, Bogleweed.
And what was her real name?
Carol somebody.
And she was a full-time member of staff.
Yeah, she was, yeah. Yeah.
And you've got Joe Sunlight?
Oh yeah, Joe Sunlight. If you can understand the configuration of the nursery, then there was what we call the long nursery, which was, there was a pathway, well, I mean, a pathway down to it. And Joe Sunlight was an entrepreneur, if you like, long gone, no doubt. And he used to come down every morning to catch the train to Knutsford, to, you know, out of Knutsford. And yeah, and what my colleagues did, they used to like heckle him because he was like an older bloke, yeah, so they would be sort of saying, you know, come on, Joe, you know, come on, Joe Sunlight, yeah. And it was him who actually introduced central heating into a big office block in, apparently, he was fixed up something so that he could actually plug a vacuum in to any socket in the big office. Yeah, so I mean, didn't know a lot about him, but yeah, we
he worked there.
No, he was like an entrepreneur.
Right.
Mm.
No,
well, he might have been, but I mean,
just
around.
You've got a comment here that the soil was very deep, it was 4 foot deep.
It was. It was brilliant soil because it had been stirred over donkey's years. And it would have been chosen because of that. Yeah.
Was that any one particular place? Was that the Long Nursery or Allerton or any particular place? Or?
That was the long nursery, yeah.
Very deep soil.
Very deep soil, yeah.
And where did you, when you were there all day, where did you have your lunch?
In the packing shed. There were no facilities. We didn't really want facilities, but we used to have to. We would have our bagging outside if it was a day like today, or if we went into the packing shed, yeah. But in the packing shed, there was all like straw and, you know, we used to put things, if you were doing a mixed order, you would put, you would put a big steak up the middle, and then you would pack all the other stuff around it and then stitch it up, with baler twine and stuff like that, yeah.
Is that why you needed the straw?
Yeah, to pack round it, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then what was round the outside, sacking?
It was, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So did you collect the plants that went in?
Yeah. It did, yeah. Yeah.
So you worked in the packing shed some of the time?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
What was the story about rhododendrons being brought in on a wagon?
Yeah. Dennis from Bolton Brothers, who was the wagon driver.
Where were they based?
Bolton Brothers of Moddershaw.
Where's that?
Down in Staffordshire, I think. We've got one of their catalogues upstairs, I think. Dennis was like chucking stuff off the back end and saying to me, Caucasian picked them, you know, no flowers on. Caucasian picked them, you know, whatever, Jackman Eye, you know. So I said,
he knew all the names of, and they weren't labelled.
No, no.
But he knew what they were,
yeah,
by looking at them.
Mm. Yeah.
And he said to you what?
he said to me, well, if you look carefully, you can tell which is which.
So you started learning them.
Mm.
Were they very strict about timekeeping at the nursery?
They were. Well, I mean, in those days, you know, if you went to work for 8 o'clock, you were at work for 8 o'clock and you didn't finish till sort of 5 o'clock. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good firm to work for, Yeah, I mean, and it was a job as well, you know. So, you know, we didn't really worry about it.
And how were you paid?
Every Saturday afternoon, every Saturday lunchtime, we got a pay packet. So I was earning £11.03 at the time. I think it was £11.03. May have been slightly less. Yeah.
And did you ever get sent out of the nursery to customers' houses?
Yeah, we did. And I can remember going to Swettenham Hall to prune a big magnolia on a wall. A big Sulangiana. And
Was it Mr. Caldwell that used to dig things up out of his own garden?
Mm. Yes.
What if a customer needed?
Oh yeah, dig it up. Yeah, yeah.
Dig it up and sell it to him if it was in his own garden. If they'd pay for it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's so different to today.
Mm.
What about the Acer, Campestre that we've got one in?
Oh yeah. After I left and was working in local government as a horticulturalist. I met Donovan Lehman, and he said, look, here's a very upright field maple, which I've been going to propagate. So they first of all were going to call it Cranford. Then it became William Caldwell. And then I think it's now still William Caldwell. But we've got one, you know, in the Arboretum, and it's, you know, about 30 foot high.
No, Don Lehman has told me about that, and he has one in his garden.
Yeah.
He's very pleased that that is being propagated and sold now.
Yes, yeah. And what was he calling it?
William Caldwell.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Can you remember any other specific plants from when you were there?
Oh God, yeah. Leucothoe catesbii, Magnolia Sulangiana, Magnolia stellata, a whole range of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And were there any particular occasions when there were disasters in the nursery because of frost or theft?
Didn't have much in the way of theft, because in those days people were more honest. No, I mean, if there was disaster, it was a weather disaster, you know. But we didn't like worry about it. Yeah. Oh, I know one thing. We used to buy in AB's Grandis. So I said to Mr. Caldwell, you shouldn't be selling that, should you? Because AB's Grandis grows to 300 feet. So he said, that's the way he talked. when it's 300 feet, we'll know all about it. And what he was doing, basically, he was like importing things that were forbidden to be imported under another name. So if you label them up incorrectly and customs, you know, were going round, then that was, that was a little bit naughty. Yeah.
Why Why do you think he did that?
Because he was making money. Yeah.
So did he buy a lot of stuff from abroad, do you recall?
Yeah, a lot came in from Holland and Germany, and some in from Italy, and less so than Germany and France, yeah.
Did you ever have occasion to go to the florist's shop on King Street?
Not really. No.
So you never got involved with making the wreaths or anything like that?
No.
That was quite separate.
You've got something here that says leather cuttings.
Leather cuttings.
Leather cuttings.
Leather cuttings.
Oh, that wasn't to do with sharpening your knives, was it? Or was that at Clybrand's?
Clybrand's used to charge a penny for a knife, you know, because they said that if they gave it to you and, you know, you were going to cut yourself, then that was part of the mythology, and quite right too, you know.
But that wasn't Converse.
Not really, no.
I think Peter Acton.
Yeah.
Was Peter Acton the person we went to see?
Yes.
Who had the rake make tree?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
So you've kept in contact with people that you knew there? Or
not really, no.
You sort of bump into people sometimes, I think, more than everything. Talk about old times and all. But we did go and see him because he got an apple tree. When Tony was propagating fruit trees, he got an apple tree called Rake Maker.
We never tracked the name down, did we?
No, but you took some budwood from it and propagated it. Yeah. You got a much longer list of the people you worked at Clybrand's with.
Did anybody else from Clybrand's follow you or come with you to Caldwell's?
Not really, no. No, because what had happened at Clybrand's was that 1966, when I went to college, Clybrand's was packing up. 1966, Clybrand's packed up, and.
Why did they finish then?
Basically, because Billy Clybrand had two daughters, adopted daughters, who had been the offspring of one of his travellers. So he adopted them because the traveller had been killed in a car crash, as I understand it. And they both became mannequins because, you know, they were, you know, quite attractive. And because of that, and not wanting to hand it over to...
they didn't want it, did they?
No, they didn't want it, no. And so...
they wanted to take it on.
And most of the land at Clybrand's was rented, you know. But interestingly enough, they were... there was three ethnic groups at Clybrand's. There was the English people, yeah. There was the Irish people, and there were the Pakistani people and Indian people. And if you were wanting to come over to this country from Pakistan, that was one of the jobs that you were allowed to do.
Work on the land.
Although the Pakistanis didn't like that at all, because they thought that was demeaning. Whereas the Irish, used to come over in the autumn, work right through the winter, and then go back to Ireland for the harvest.
Do you remember the different groups of people that there were at Caldwell's like that?
All English.
Scottish?
Well, Scottish, yeah. Mm. And some Welsh, yeah. But all mainly, native.
So there weren't any?
No, there weren't any Pakis there, no.
And so did you have a lot of contact with William Caldwell in your work?
Not really, no. We used to see him occasionally and... I would say not.
Did you ever have to go up to his house?
Not really, no.
You weren't involved with going up there and digging things up for him?
Not really, no.
Who used to do that sort of thing? You're not aware of it?
Not really, no. I mean, the stuff was healed in the border, so it could be easily whizzed out,
And what, in the end, why did you come to leave Caldwell's? Did you not see a future there for you?
Not really. Caldwell's again went down the tubes, and what happened was that Mr. Caldwell was a gentleman, and he entered into an agreement with somebody who was going to build him a garden centre at Ollerton. Anyway, they couldn't get planning permission, but because he'd committed himself to that, then slowly and surely, the whole thing went down the tubes. So, I mean, it could still be going today if he'd been a little bit more bullish. But I think he'd had enough. His son had gone to Australia. His daughter didn't really want to know. And
that's comparatively recently, isn't it? Why did you make the decision to move?
I went to Todd's because I got no glasshouse experience. Right. Mm.
Could you not get the glasshouse experience that you wanted?
Not really. It was commercial glasshouse experience, and all that Caldwell's were doing was like growing a few cyclamen, I mean, at Toddy's, then they were growing AYR croissants, and other things. So it was a big glasshouse nursery, yeah.
And then. How long were you at Todd's?
About 18 months.
And where did you go from there?
Into local authority parks work.
Mm-hmm. And then you ended up as horticulture officer?
For Tameside.
Tameside, and then you went to Reese Heath and taught horticulture at Reese Heath for 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And took early retirement?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were here, you'd met me and we were here about now.
Yeah.
And you set up your own fruit tree nursery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until you decided to retire properly.
Mm.
Well, out of all the experience you'd had, was fruit the thing that interested you most?
I think so, because it's very intriguing, is growing fruit, and particularly when you've come through the system like Clybrons, where you were digging up huge trees and stacking them, when we dug up, what we would dig up is like 200 ash, that sort of stem diameter. And we would heel them in groups of three and four into wet puddles, in the winter time, And looking back on it, if you read the old textbooks, going back, you know, several hundred years, the way I was taught to bud is exactly the same that we used to do at Clybourne's.
I mean, some of the very earliest writings about propagating fruit describe things in exactly the same way that Tony was taught at Clybourne's to do it. It hasn't changed in centuries.
Mm.
Where were the two ladies that did docking in
the summer? Right, yeah. No, at Clybourne's. Madge and Dooferidge. And what they were doing there was that they were going round doing docking, you know, that this was weed control, and hanging the stuff up in the trees.
Pick up the dock, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And you said then they'd hook it upside down over a branch of a tree so it would die. But they could also be counted as to how many they'd done, how much work they'd done.
And were they paid on that basis?
Yes, I think so.
Per dock?
Well, maybe not per dock, but, you know.
Penny for 100 or something.
Yeah.
Stupid, probably.
Yeah.
And that was their summer job.
Mm.
Did they work in the winter as well?
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Do you remember methods of weed control at Caldwell's?
Yeah, in those days we got a whole range of stuff that we could use, and then that's got shrunk down now to just Roundup, I suppose.
Whereas at Clybourne's they were doing stuff by hand, at Caldwell's were you using chemicals for weed control?
Yeah, I think we were.
So did you have to go and get the chemicals from somebody or somewhere, and the tools?
Did you personally do it?
Yeah, I mean, we had, that was a little geese truck. That was at Todd's. We had a little geese truck.
Yeah. Did you do it at Caldwell's?
With a knapsack sprayer, I think. With a knapsack sprayer.
One of those old metal ones?
No, a plastic one. Plastic. Yeah. Yeah. A P, whatever it was, you know.
We sorted through Tony's catalogue collection as well, haven't we?
Mm.
We've got some catalogues there.
Yeah, in here.
Leaflets, put it that way.
Right, well, perhaps we should finish then, Joel.
Yeah.
Are there any other memories or any other comments that you've got of Caldwell's?
I don't think so at this stage, but I'd welcome you to come back.
Do you remember the family, Mr. Caldwell's family?
Mm, oh, yeah. Yeah.
What were they like?
He'd been in the tank regiment in the war, and I can remember him saying to Johnny Crimes, there was another young lad. Johnny Crimes was in his 40s, so there's another young lad in his sort of like teens, and he was like poking at, you know, like with a poking stick, you know, he used to cut them out of the hedge with a poking stick, and Billy Caldwell rounded on him, this young lad, and said to him, that's the only method I can do to describe it.
What did he say to him? He didn't didn't like him poking at things.
No, he didn't like him poking at Johnny Crimes.
No, poking at Johnny
Crimes. Yeah, but Johnny Crimes was enjoying it.
A bit teasing.
Yeah.
What about Mrs. Caldwell? Did she ever come to Mexico?
Never really saw much of Mrs. Caldwell, and he had a daughter as well, which she would have been about 13 or 14 when I was there. Not really.
And what hours did you work?
Well, at one time, we worked from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And then the government came up with this idea of 2 hours. You know, they put 2 hours on, didn't they?
Oh, we did. We had a funny daylight saving time.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And, yeah. So what we were doing then was like, we had big searchlights in the yard because it was dark at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, so that was ridiculous, yeah.
And did you work Saturdays?
Yes.
You worked 6 days?
Mm.
For yeah. £1, 3 shifts?
Something like that, yeah.
So how many hours was that?
44, I think.
44 hours.
Yeah.
And how long did you get for lunch?
As long as it took, basically. So, you know, if I could eat 10 minutes, you know. Yeah.
Didn't get an hour off for lunch.
Not really. I mean, you didn't really want an hour off for lunch.
So that was the time when you saw other people, was it, who'd been working in other areas? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite small, the Knutsford project. So, you know, we were quite an intimate little team, basically, yeah.
Do you remember Frank Passant?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, Frank Passant. He was in the office, wasn't he? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he'll be dead now, won't he? Is he not? No? Oh, he must be getting on a bit. No, I don't. No. There was Sydney, the tractor driver.
Sydney Taylor.
Yeah.
I think he's still around.
Hmm. Yeah.
And somebody called Ken Rowe.
Ken Rowe. No, it doesn't ring any bells.
Some of them may not have overlapped.
No, Ken Rowe, no.
So did you enjoy your time there?
I did, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed my time at Clybrands, enjoyed my time at college, enjoyed my time at Caldwell's, enjoyed my time at Todd's, enjoyed
I
my...
I think what you were doing, wasn't it, was you were trying to educate yourself by moving jobs in a way that now would be called an MBQ.
Mm.
Cover a whole range of things.
Mm.
But you actually went round and found the jobs that taught you all those different things.
Yeah.
Gave you that all round.
Mm.
And then you were able to use that working at places like Tameside. Where you
yes, yeah. To. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you were teaching.
Mm. Yeah.
Had that all round that could teach anything.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, good.